Stop trying and start abiding. I have a little story here. An older sister was sitting next to her younger brother in church one Sunday morning, and she was unsuccessfully trying to keep him still and quiet. Finally, she said, "I wish you would calm down." "I can't," he said. "It's just so boring." With that, his sister turned and said, "It's supposed to be boring." If you've been to a Southern Baptist church, you can understand that. So, when you go to the grocery store or Walmart, do you guys pick the longest line or the shortest line?
The shortest line.
Yeah. Why? Because it takes time and it's boring sitting in line. So Penny and her mom cannot stand in the line. They cannot wait at all. And then when it's time for them to call our name or go check out or walk out the store, I can't find them. They just cannot do it. It's a shame that so many people feel that church is just so boring. Sitting in the pew is like standing in a checkout line. A process that just has to be endured so we can get what we want. And that's the question I want to ask you guys this morning. What do you expect coming to church? What do you expect to get coming to church? You know, at some point we all have thought that by going to church and sitting in a building with other believers, it would automatically make the rest of our week go well. Well, it certainly could be true. I don't know about you guys, but what I miss a Sunday or two, that things a little bit sideways for me. But you know, I know that as days gone by, I would just sit there and the sermon would be going over my head and I would get absolutely nothing out. Checking my watch, wondering what or where we were going to eat for lunch. I can't do that now because I'm up here, but, you know. We do come to church, though. The reason we come to church should be to get our hearts focused on Jesus Christ. Our goal is God Himself, neither joy nor peace nor even blessing, but Himself or God. Worshiping Him, praising Him, serving Him and glorifying Him. I think it was the second song that you guys sang. It sounded amazing. I could hear everyone singing. That's what we're here for. We're not singing to Henny or Kristen. We're singing to our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we're worshiping Him and glorifying Him. Amen. So let's take time this morning to realize what and who is the central point of the power in our lives. Is it the work we do, service we do, sacrificing for others, or trying to work for God? No. The thing that ought to exert the most power in our lives is our Lord Savior, Christ Jesus. You see, to abide means to remain in place. We have a relationship with God, and that relationship will produce something that Jesus refers to as fruit. If you will turn to your Bible from John chapter 15, John chapter 15. John chapter 15, we're going to start in verse 1. Just look up at me when you guys got it. So please keep a bookmark in this because we will be coming back to this quite a bit. Chapter 15, verse 1 starts like this. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Jesus is actually talking about being pruned here to his disciples. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, and that you bear much fruit, and so prove to me to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. We need to position ourselves in the true vine. I am the true vine, and my Father the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. So here Jesus is positioning himself as the true vine, the authentic source of life and nourishment, which is quite a contrast to what non-believers have all these sources that they try to rely on and seem to dig on that. Now I know we have quite a few gardeners here and green thumbs here, two brown thumbs here. But I can relate a little bit to this. A couple years ago, we came to visit Mom and Dad, and Dad had this just blooming rose bush. I can't even count the number of roses that was on it. Penny just absolutely loved it. And Dad was like, kept sending her pictures of it. And then when we came back last year, he had me trim it back, all the way back, almost down to the ground. And I was like, what are you doing, Dad? I think you're gonna die. I didn't understand why that had been doing so well that you would trim it all the way down like that. There's no way it's going to grow this year. So much to my surprise, it did. Even more so. There's a couple illustrations in that. Or a couple lessons in that illustration. One is I shouldn't question my dad. For you teenagers. He knew what he was doing. And if only I had spent more time in my life listening to him instead of questioning him, I'd probably feel a little bit further along. Although second, most importantly, even in that rose bush, there was still room for growth and improvement. Who here has been pruned by the Lord? It'd be uncomfortable. But it is ultimately for our own good. And for our effectiveness and his calling in our lives. And ultimately, for his glory. Now, pruning isn't typically punitive. A lot of times we think of it that way. And some of you gardeners probably, they've gotten mad at a plant for not doing what it needs to do, and you decided to cut it down and dig it out. But that's not what God is doing here. Sometimes we need to have things removed in our lives, and it's solely meant to better us. To prepare us for the next season that God is preparing for you. Will we trust in God's hands in our lives? By remaining in this vine, we find the source of our growth and fruitfulness, reflecting a life fully surrendered to Christ. I surrender all. You know, I kind of gave Henny and Kristen a little hint of what I was preaching on, but they didn't have it. And I had to pick a hymn. So I surrender all is a no-brainer. But they picked this, "Yet Not I, But Christ in Me." Man, how powerful is that? Yeah. See, we need to be purposeful in abiding in Christ. Verses 4 and 5 tell us again, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branches cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Many of you will remember Matthew 28:20, you don't need to turn there. He ends with, "And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Abide in me, and I will abide in you. Can you imagine hearing those words from Jesus? The second half of Hebrews 13, verse 5. Actually, I'm just going to read this whole thing. Why don't you turn there? Hebrews 13, please. Chapter 13. It's in my notes, so the Lord must want me to read it. So. Hebrews 13, going to be verse 5. Chapter 13, verse 5 of Hebrews. All right. "Make sure that your character is free from the love of money. Be content with what you have, for he himself has said, 'I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you.' So that we confidently say, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me?'" Now sure, we can do a lot of things in our own power, but nothing of eternal, spiritual, or true value can be done without abiding in Christ Jesus. Does God ever do something in our lives and we don't recognize it? We want to take credit for it ourselves. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, please. Philippians chapter 4. It's after the book of Ephesians. Most of you will have at least part of these verses memorized. Chapter 4, verse 11. "Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me."
Amen.
You see, context is so very important. I'm sure we saw football players, basketball players, having that verse on their eyes or on their jersey. But you see, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. In times of need and in times of fruitfulness and in plenty. And yes, Christ can strengthen us during illnesses and during periods of suffering. But he provides everything that we need.
Amen.
The first of stress, the necessity of abiding, remaining in him for sustenance and strength. We are called to deliberately choose to dwell in Christ's presence. What areas of your life, maybe, have you drifted into self-reliance? There's nothing worse than going along saying, I got this. I got this. And then you ain't got it. Then you remember Jesus. Can we say amen for the grace and mercy he shows us for forgetting sometimes
amen.
That he is our source of strength
amen.
And power? We need to embrace that promise that with Christ we can achieve much more than we would ever do on our own. We don't need to turn here, but 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 10 tells us, and for this we labor and strive, that we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, and especially of those who believe. All we do should be for the Lord Jesus, right? We need to prioritize our connection with him. Go back to your bookmark and John 15, if I can find my bookmark, here we go. Let's go to verse 6. Anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you may bear much fruit. And so prove to be my disciples. How many of you have ever, those of you who have more than one hose in your house, have you ever gone to water something and pulled the trigger thinking the faucet's on, and you grab the wrong hose? Find out the hose that you're holding is not connected to the faucet that you turned on. So now you find yourself holding the end of the hose that is empty and non-productive. See, the water is flowing at the source. And who's our source? That's right. But you're looking for results in the wrong place. The same is true in our lives. When we aren't connected to Jesus, our vine, and in this case we'll say hose, life is empty, essentially non-productive. No flowing water will come out from us. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. That comes from John chapter 7, verse 38. See, Jesus speaks very clearly in scripture about the separation that occurs from us not remaining in him. And we will become fruitless. It is a guarantee that you will become fruitless. If you would, please turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, and we're starting verse 16 to 20. Jesus sure did like trees and fruit. Look up at me, God. Starting in verse 16, Matthew 7. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Well, there it is again, thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. You're not bearing fruit. You are not showing signs of being a true disciple. Fruit bearing glorifies the Father and showcases the power of a life that is surrendered to Jesus. You don't need to turn there in Galatians 5:22. Most of you know this one. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passion and desire. See, folks, if you haven't crucified the flesh, these fruits won't grow. That is pruning. Back to John 15. Let's look at verse 6. Anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. See, folks, if you don't have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are not connected to the vine. You will dry up. And you will be gathered. And left. For eternity. But you know, verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is a whole other sermon, but it sounds good, right? Lot more to it. If you abide in me and my word in you, that's completely. I don't know why I like verse 8 so much. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and shall prove to be my disciples. He's glorified, guys, through you. Your weakness is made strong through pruning, and you grow and blossom. But that second half of verse 8 goes, and so prove to be my disciples. Jesus is commanding us to prove our fruitfulness. Right? We all want verse 7, but are we willing to do verse 8? We need to persevere in Christ. In Christ's love that brings true joy. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, Folks, verse 11. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. Jesus speaks of the fullness of joy that comes from obeying his commandments and living in his love. If we live in his love, we can't have hatred in our heart for someone. If we live in his love, we must forgive. If we live in his love, we must serve. True love, this is true love. Jesus is both the source and the product of our abiding relationship with him. So, stop trying to fix it yourself. Start abiding in him. Let him prune you and make you more fruitful. Don't resist the process. Stop trying to do it in your own strength. Start abiding in Jesus. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Stop trying to live by the ways of the world and start abiding in him. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Stop trying to please man and start abiding in Christ. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. Folks, I encourage each of you to find your joy and strength in the love of Christ, which sustains us through trials and seasons and enables a fruitful life. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you so very much for this day. Lord, we just thank you, Jesus, for being our God. Lord, thank you for not cutting us off completely. Lord, I pray that if there's anybody in here who's not truly abiding in you, who's not have seen your mind, Lord, I pray that today will be the day we give our lives over to you completely. And abide and remain in you, Lord. Lord, we love you so very much. And we pray all this in Jesus' name.